What's up, baseball fans? Welcome to the On the Bump podcast, where two current major league pitchers take a deep dive into an all-time great pitcher of the past. We got a fun episode today. We got current Minnesota Twins pitcher Tyler Duffy and myself. We're going to be talking about one of the greatest modern starting pitchers, Hall of Famer, former Atlanta Braves workhorse, Greg Maddux. So Duffy is a Houston guy. He was at Rice University the same time I was at Texas A&M, so I've been facing him forever. We work out together in the off seasons. I knew I wanted to knock out one of these episodes with him. He's a hilarious guy. He's going to be fun to talk to. I've had him on the Big Swing before, and he wanted to talk Greg Maddux, so this is going to be perfect. Usually on this podcast, we try to find someone that compares to the guest, right? You think of Kershaw to Sandy Koufax, Trevor Bauer to Tim Lincecum. I don't know if you can really find someone in modern baseball that compares to Greg Maddux. I think you can maybe say Kyle Hendricks a little bit with the Cubs, but what's great is Duffy wanted to do Maddux. So here we are. He wanted to do it. I wanted to do an episode, and it worked out perfect. So, man, we could talk about the Mad Dog for 3 hours, especially since I was around him for some spring trainings and got to know him. I mean, I could just go on and on. So we're going to try and condense this down into a clean, you know, 40, 45 minutes for you guys. And, really get a feel for who Greg Maddux was and obviously enjoy talking about him over the course of this episode. So you guys know I got to do a little background, a little stats before we get the conversation going and bring Tyler Duffy in here. What's nice about Greg Maddux is he hasn't been out of the game all that long. You know, he's still really fresh in our mind. And it's just going to be a little refresher, reminding you guys why he was a first ballot Hall of Famer and guy that threw 5,000 innings and really winning this right-handed pitcher in the live ball era. So let's jump into it. So Maddux went to high school in Las Vegas, and I guess he worked as a poker dealer at various casinos throughout Vegas. I just love that little tidbit because if you know Maddux at all in that, like, you've watched his interviews or seen the way he talks, and like I said, I was around him for some spring trainings, that just makes total sense. I mean, the way his brain works, for him to be a poker dealer, like, could not make more sense. Drafted by the Cubs in the second round in 1984, debuts in 1986. Actually, fun little fact, his major league debut was as a pinch runner in the 17th inning, so it wasn't even as a pitcher. I bet that's pretty rare. So, early years, 86, 87, he actually really struggles. He bounces back and forth between the minor leagues and Chicago. He has above a 5 ERA both seasons, and uncharacteristically wild. I mean, he averages over 4 walks per 9, which, as you guys know, as his career goes, I mean, that number is closer to 1. Per 9. So not everyone comes up and dominates the league right away. It's a learning curve, to say the least, but didn't take him long. By the 1988 season, he's an all-star, finishes third in the Cy Young in 1989, wins a gold glove in 90 and 91. The four seasons that we got to focus on a little bit here, 92, 93, 94, 95. So we had Walker Buehler on talking Pedro Martinez, who put a 7-year run together with the Red Sox. That's about as good of a run from a modern starting pitcher as we've ever seen, and just absolutely dominant. Well, Greg Maddux has a 4-year run in here that's equally as dominant, and it led to 4 straight Cy Youngs. And listen to these stats. 75-29 record, a 1.98 ERA, 37 complete games, 11 shutouts, led the league in innings all 4 years, won 4 gold gloves. 3 of the 4 years, he led the league in complete games, wins, ERA, home runs allowed per 9, and WAR. Pitched them to a 1995 World Series, had a 1.88 in that postseason. He had a whole run better ERA than the next closest guy in the 4 years. So he was a run better than the rest of Major League Baseball over those 4 years. I mean, that's pure dominance. And what's cool about it is you think of Randy Johnson, Roger Clemens, Pedro Martinez, Nolan Ryan. Those guys did it with power. You know, they were blowing 97 by you for 9 innings. Well, Maddux never had that. He did it more with changing speeds and deception. And I love this quote for him. The last 10 feet, that's what worked for me. It was not so much the whole 60-foot 6 inches. It was what the ball did in the last 10 feet that mattered. And that's so true. If you don't throw 97, that's how you got to get big league hitters out. It's tunneling, which we'll get into later with Duffy. How long can I make the ball go before it breaks? That's how you get big league hitters out. You got to be deceptive. So he goes on another 7 years with the Braves, 96-02. Still incredibly impressive. 123-59 record, a 2.76 ERA, only averaged 1.3 walks per 9. Averaged over 230 innings per season during those 7 last years as a Brave. And also won 7 more gold gloves. So that's pretty impressive. And even really his last 6 years of his career, when he's no longer a Brave, he plays for Chicago, the Dodgers, the Padres. still a very serviceable starting pitcher. 82-75 record, still only allowing 1.4 walks per nine. Average ERA across the league during that time. That's, you know, he pitched into his 40s. I mean, it's just impressive. He was the professor. He was a wizard. You know, into his late 30s and 40s, throwing probably low to mid 80s at best and getting big league hitters out. So let's wrap it up here with some just kind of like overall career fun facts about Greg Maddux. He's the winningest pitcher in the live ball era, not named Warren Spahn. Warren Spahn was a lefty. We covered him with Alex Wood. So that makes Greg Maddux the winningest right-handed pitcher in the live ball era. 18 career gold gloves are the most at any position ever. I love this stat. He only had two balks from 1995 to 2007. So in almost 3,000 innings in the big leagues, he had two balks. I think I've had two balks in an inning before. I mean, when I read that, I just thought that was absolutely amazing. That's how you get 18 gold gloves. Holds the record for quickest complete game. Happened against my Blue Jays in 1998. He threw 102 pitches in an hour and 46 minutes complete game. That's unheard of now. That'd be like the fourth inning of a modern baseball game today. And once threw a 76-pitch complete game against the Cubs in 1997. 76 pitches in and out of there. They actually invented a stat called the Maddux, which is a complete game shutout in under 100 pitches. Yeah, so getting through nine innings in 100 pitches, no runs. Maddux holds the record. He did it 13 times. The next closest is seven. So that's just another incredible stat. That was information overload, but when you pitch 23 years in the big leagues and you throw over 5,000 innings, you got to take your time to go over all those accolades. And, you know, Maddux really in kind of just a handful of guys that has the longevity and the bulk stats that he has in the live ball era. I mean, we saw guys like that, you know, like we did Warren Spahn, Bob Feller, Sandy Koufax, like those guys threw 300 innings, but that was back in the 50s, 40s, 50s, 60s. You know, Maddux basically pitched in modern baseball and got to 5,000 innings and 355 wins. I mean, it's absolutely incredible. All right, so now that we know all that we need to know about Greg Maddux, let's bring in Tyler Duffy and let's keep this conversation going. All right, guys, welcome back. We are very lucky to be joined by Tyler Duffy, pitcher for the Minnesota Twins, fellow Houstonian. Duff, what's up, man?
Nothing, just, you know, getting settled into spring. Had my first outing, got ambushed first pitch of the season for a homer, so, you know, all is well.
No way. I didn't see that. And now you're having to do a podcast? I didn't realize. That's my fault.
Chavis, he decided to take my first fastball of the season to left field. So, you know, it was a good start.
You know, you can only get better from there, right? Like, that's can't get worse.
You can only go up.
Gosh, I didn't realize I'm doing that to you. That's my bad.
Oh, no. These homers don't count. So I'll gladly give them up right now.
So I just did a whole big intro, Tyler, before I brought you on. I realized I didn't finish it by even going through Maddux's like career stat line. So despite all the stuff I just rattled off, I got to at least go through it. So 355 wins, 5,000 innings, a 3.16 ERA, 109 complete games, 35 shutouts, four Cy Youngs, 18 gold gloves in the 95 World Series. What's the first thing you think of when you think of Greg Maddux?
I mean, we were just talking about it. The complete games, what did you say, is 109?
109 complete games.
And then doing that, you know, however many times he did it in less than 100 pitches. Obviously, there's a little strike zone difference, you know, in his heyday. But at the same time, like that guy was dominating the league for, you know, how many seasons was it? 18. We won 18 gold gloves. So at least 18 years of just dominant pitching in baseball.
Yeah, pitched into his low 40s. It's funny you bring it up. I was just talking about it in the intro. The Maddux is a specific stat named after him. Complete game shutout in under 100 pitches. He did it 13 times.
Guys are lucky to do that once. And you know, it's just to go out and literally like have the ball on a string. It's unheard of. And, you know, I mean, it's never going to happen again.
If you have a stat named the Maddux, what's the Tyler Duffy?
Yeah, I don't know that I have any good ones. It's definitely, you know, audible expletives yelled on air that you can actually make out on TV. That's probably a good one. You know, make it an over under about three. It's probably a Duffy.
I like that one. When I think of Maddux, man, I think of front door sinkers. I think of like the OG guy that could start a ball at the hitter and it would run in for a strike. And the hitter, you know, like moves his hips back, hands go up, thinking I'm going to get hit by this ball. And it's a strike three punch out. Like that is Greg Maddux to a T.
Yeah, I feel like the one that sticks out is him. I feel like it's Mark Grace hitting. It's him in one of his games. It's like he's up there lefty and it's like just absolutely just bails, like you said. And it's just middle. And it's like, what am I supposed to do with that? And then he throws a changeup off of that, you know, and then a cutter or a slider, and then his curveball. Like, it's just, he could pick you apart. And it was just, you know, he was the mad dog.
The mad dog. Yeah, the professor. I always thought he was the wizard, but in my research, I found he was the professor.
Yeah, he was anything he wanted to be.
Yeah, exactly. I was surprised to see his first 2 years, he went up and down a lot in the minor leagues. I remember Clayton Kershaw, the first time he told me that he struggled early and was getting sent up and down. And they basically told him, hey, man, you're going down to the minor leagues unless you develop a third pitch. And all he does is go to the bullpen and find the nastiest lefty slider that's ever existed and never goes back to the minors. But it's not that these guys always come up and just have instant success. Even Hall of Famers come up and have some learning curve.
Yeah. And that's where it's funny. That's my dad. After my, like, so 2015, I get called up, you know, went really well. I think I had 5 wins in like 10 starts, like pitched really well. And then 16, I had a not good year, I'll put it, you know, nicely. And so I remember that off season, my dad actually printed off Maddox's career stats and he highlighted his first 2 seasons. He's like, look, this doesn't matter. Like the best pitcher, you know, arguably in the history of baseball, you know, one of, had a horrible first 2 seasons, you know, had like a 5 or 6 ERA, whatever it was, like had a tough go. You know, had to get his feet wet and figure things out. And, you know, it was one of those things, like someone I looked up to growing up pitching and wanted to mold myself after, he struggled the same way. And it was like, it was very refreshing to see that. And it's like, okay, like everybody does this, like it's part of it.
That's good fathering right there. Now that we're both fathers of sons, we need to make notes of that so we can bring that back later. So you were a starter for basically your whole life until these last few years with the Twins, where you found a nice little role for yourself in the bullpen. But I know you can appreciate these Maddox stats as much as anyone. We've covered some guys from the 30s, 40s, and 50s on this podcast, and you just kind of get used to seeing those stats from those guys back in the day, like 300 innings, 40 starts, they're pitching on one day's rest and that kind of stuff. But like Maddox basically pitched in modern baseball and threw 5,000 innings. But, you know, Pedro, Roger Clemens, those guys were doing it with power. Maddox was doing it with finesse. I guess we'll get into how would Maddox be in today's game. But do you consider Greg Maddox a modern pitcher? Like, do you think that pitching in the 90s is borderline the same as pitching in baseball today?
It's kind of good timing doing this now. I feel like Barry Bonds just did an interview with somebody. I saw it on, you know, Instagram, a video or a reel, whatever they are. But he was talking about Maddox, and it was like, you'd think you had him figured out, and then he'd just tear you up something else. And it was just arguably one of the best hitters of our generation, you know, in baseball history, is talking about Greg Maddox, saying like this guy was untouchable. You know, if you waited around too long, it was just over. You know, there's something to be said for that. And then, you know, pretty much across the board, you hear anybody talk about him. He was a professor of the game, and, you know, he was always ahead of everyone, it seemed. And it was just, to follow up on that question, yeah, I think he would have had great success in today's game. Would have been the same amount, probably not. You know, the innings, things like that, you know, he probably would have gotten pulled every 5th inning because he doesn't throw hard enough and they wouldn't have trusted him to throw the 6th inning, you know, kind of thing. So, you know, other than that, I think he would have done well, but, you know, I don't know that he would have necessarily been the Hall of Famer he was now.
Really stepping on the last question of the podcast there. We all might as well just call it now because that's always the last thing we talk about. Which one blows your mind more, 5,000 innings or 355 wins?
So 5,000 innings. I don't know that that will ever happen, you know, and then the 300, neither of those will happen. I don't think ever again. I don't even know, like, what do you know Kershaw's innings offhand, like career?
Well, I had this note written down and you just answered it. Do you think we'll ever see a 300 win pitcher again? And then, cause I was looking at Clayton, you know, Clayton's been as dominant as any pitcher now for 13 seasons. And he's been on an equally good team as what Greg Maddox had, right? Just reeling off division wins one after another. And Clayton would have to double his career thus far to get to Greg Maddox. And to think how dominant Clayton's really been for 13 years, and he's thrown like 2,300 innings. He's got to repeat his career thus far to get to Maddox, bro.
You know, but unless, you know, the game changes again where, you know, 19-year-olds get to go to the big leagues and stay there, and you have to find someone who's ready to do that, you know, I just don't see it happening. And think about their rotation. I think this was mentioned in some of the notes, like those 3 that were on that staff between, you know, Smoltz, Glavine, and Maddox, like there'll never be a threesome like that in any rotation. You know, I don't care who it is. Those guys, you know, different era, whatever, but it was just so incredible night in, night out. Like Maddox rolled out of bed and, you know, as my dad would say, could dot a gnat's ass. he's going to do what he's going to do. And you just better hope to score one. Cause that, I mean, that's all you're going to get.
And just how fortunate those fans were, man. Like, you know, now, and we kind of keep going back to the Dodgers, but you think they have Price, Kershaw, Bueller, Bauer. That's going to be short-lived. You know, these Atlanta Braves fans of the 90s, you could have bought a Glavin, Maddox, Smoltz jersey for your son at 5 years old, and he could have still worn that thing to, like, his college orientation. You know, all three of them.
I don't know how old I was. I was less than 10, but I remember, like, I didn't have a TV in my room, but our door was open in my parents' room. I could see that, like, TV was on, and it had to be I don't know that it was a World Series. I can't remember what years they were there. It had to be like 97 or 96. But I remember like hearing my dad yelling at the TV, watching the Braves games. And I think that's where like watching Maddox and my dad watching Maddox is there on TBS. Like that was like, there's like the WGN, TBS and, you know, Houston were on TV. And so you watched whoever was on there and like night in, night out is Braves, Braves, Braves. And like, I remember vividly hearing my dad yelling at the TV, watching the Braves play, you know, and it seemed like every year they were in the postseason because they were. I mean, it was, was it 10 straight or something?
13 or something like that. Yeah. One World Series only and all that. But yeah, I think 13 straight. When I picture those three, I think of like a college rotation. You're a college guy, you know, like Maddox goes out Friday night and goes like 7 shutty. So then Smoltz wants to go out Saturday night and throw 8 shutty. And then Glavin comes in Sunday, travel day, and throws a CG shutty.
Yeah, imagine that 3-game set. Like you roll into Atlanta, like coming from somewhere, and it's like, oh great, we have these three guys.
Yeah, we're gonna score one run in the next 3 games.
It's honestly like I'd compare it to being like, you know, when Sale was in Chicago with the White Sox, or you know, rolling up against Verlander or whoever. Like pick a guy, you'd come in, and it's like one game of the series. You're like, all right. Like we got to chalk that one up as, you know, a loss, and we've got to try and get the next two in that series. It's like, we got to score hopefully a run.
Yeah.
Literally. And then, you know, it's just, you know, and then that lineup they have, I mean, that team was, like I said, that whole team was unbelievable. To have those three for that long in the same rotation is just like, it really will. I doubt it ever happens again, like to that extent.
So he threw 200 innings for 19 straight years. Some of them in like the 240s, 260s, but for 19 straight years, 200 innings or more, man. So the ability to stay healthy for one is incredible. How about like, do you think it's because he didn't really have to blow it out? You know, he's kind of up there, not like going through the motions, but he's probably pitching at a 90% effort level and just painting.
Like he wasn't, like you say, he wasn't out there trying to gas it up. Like he could run it up there if he needed to, but he was cruising it, you know, 88, 91, probably throwing sinkers, changeups, curveballs. Like, and if you gave him an inch, he took the mile, and you know that he just was ruthless. And then it's just even listening to him talk, pitching, like, and you know, stuff on TV, whatever, he's just still like, you can tell like he's always thinking, and he was just always ahead of those guys. I mean, some of that you can learn how to do, whatever, but you know, some guys are just born with it. He definitely had something that, you know, you can't teach.
So you said your dad calls it hitting a gnat's ass, right?
Yeah, dotting a
gnat's ass. So, you know, you and me, we made it to the big league. So we've had days where we take the rubber and we feel like we can dot a gnat's ass. Like those days are rare, far in between sometimes, but they do exist. Do you think Maddox felt like that every fifth day for 20 straight years and how good that feeling is?
Yeah, it is nice. Like, you know, even for an at bat, if it happens and you just hit the glove 3 times and the guy goes back to the dugout, it's like, that was cool. And then, like you said, like do that for 240 innings, like just over and over again. Like I that would be a good question to ask him, like of those games, like how often were you like, all right, I know where everything I throw today is going. Like you'd have to think it's more than us, but like, I mean, that to do what he was doing, I mean, he had, you know, maybe it wasn't luck, you know, I'm trying to wrap my mind around that feeling for that long. And it's hard to do. I mean, the guy was a god, you know, with a baseball.
He was around 2 spring trainings that I was with the Dodgers. And obviously you just like get in line to talk to him. Right. I mean, he just like holds court all day, every day. Yeah. And the answer that I've now heard him say many times is you say like, what's your favorite game? Or you ask him, you know, which is your favorite game or what game do you remember the most is the most, you know, special to you or whatever. And the answer he always gives is it's not the 73 pitch complete game. It's not the hour and a half complete game that he did either. It's one where he threw like 104 pitches and he hit his spot on 102 of them or something. Like the glove didn't move on 102 of them, I guess. And that's like just such a Greg Maddux answer.
Yeah. I missed two spots that day.
Catcher could have closed his eyes and caught 102 of the 104 balls thrown his way.
I mean, now like I've thrown bullpens, you know, and it's like, all right, we need 7 out of 10, like with this location. And like, that's hard to do.
That's elite. Yeah. He was kind of talking about tunneling before Trevor Bauer and Driveline made it sexy, right? I read a quote earlier in the intro where all he worries about is the last 10 feet. You know, he doesn't care about 60 foot, 6 inches. He wants the ball to travel 50 feet on a straight line before it breaks one way or another. You know, Roy Halladay was a wizard with that kind of stuff. And obviously Maddux was too. Do you think about that? Like, are you kind of like a tunnel guy? I mean, you throw a big breaker kind of like me. It's kind of hard to tunnel when you throw a big breaker like that. But is that something you're consciously thinking about?
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, in vogue now. It's the reason for the swings and misses, the big swing and misses on, you know, breaking balls, especially. You know, you set it up with a fastball or vice versa. You set up the fastball with the breaking ball. It's definitely something I'm thinking about, you know, and figuring out, you know, what carry means and all of that stuff. You know, that's been part of my learning curve. And then like imagining again, like trying to do that with four pitches instead of two or even three, like, you know, he really was ahead of his time. And I think he would have had great success in today's game. He would have had great success. I don't know that he'd done the 5,000 innings worth of work, but you know, it's definitely something you watch him. And that's why I started throwing a circle changeup when I was like 10, because like Maddux threw the circle change. It was like, yeah, all right, I'm going to throw that pitch. And it was like fun then. You know, I didn't know what the hell I was doing. I just gripped it and it was slower. And so guys would like fall down swinging, you know. And now it's like, in retrospect, it's like, man, I wish I would have remembered how to do that, because, you know, now it's like changing speeds and tunneling and all that. It all just plays off each other. And, you know, that's part of the reason I've had the success I've had recently is, you know, figuring out how to really use that and use it to my advantage.
He's kind of like the Steph Curry of pitching. And I'll explain what that means. You can point to Greg Maddux and tell a kid, like, you can do this. You can be this. You know, all you got to do is go out and practice, hit your spots. You know, it's hard to point to Nolan Ryan and say, like, you can do this. You know, you can throw 102 miles an hour, right? Steph Curry was kind of like that, right? Where you could point to him and be like, hey, ball control and shoot the ball. And he's, you know, he's not that tall, he's skinny, but all these kids wanted to be like Steph Curry because all you got to do is be able to create a shot and hit it from long distance.
Behind your head and, you know, whatever.
Yeah, all that cool stuff. But, you know, Maddux, you know, you can't be Randy Johnson. You can't roll out of bed and be Roger Clemens, but you can work on stuff and be like Greg Maddux and make the ball move and work on being deceptive and all that kind of stuff. He's very much a, like how you touched on your dad, like point to him and say, like, this is what we strive to be when you're a pitcher.
Yeah, don't walk anybody. That was the biggest thing too. And it got me in trouble early on. It wasn't even a fear of walking. It was just refusing to walk anybody. Like, I would rather give up a rocket than walk a guy, you know? And I realized like very quickly that that's not, especially in the big leagues, that's not the way to go.
Yeah.
You can walk a guy and then start over with the next guy. But, you know, growing up, especially when you're younger, just if you fill up the zone, there's so much that good that can happen. You just throw strikes. You know, the game kind of comes to you, and he was the king of that. You know, I think there's some of the stats of his like 3-0 counts, you know, and how many were on purpose, you know,
Literally
it's like, he didn't walk it. Like that was his goal. It seemed like, and that was something that, especially growing up and in the minor leagues, like it's just fill it up, man, and see what happens. You know, if you walk people, you know, what's going to happen. But if you throw strikes and try and get people out that way, you know, the game gets a lot easier.
So we've already touched on it a little bit, but we finish every episode with this. Would he be good in today's version of baseball and today's product that we put on the field? Obviously he was done pitching only 15 years ago, whatever it was. I don't even know if it's that long ago. But that's what I'm saying. That's what I wrote down. Like, he was around right before all the video from every angle, slow-mo video, all the stuff, all the information that you can get, all the analytics. Like, they weren't shifting for Greg Maddux. Can you imagine now if you shift on Greg Maddux sinker and changeup and how many people are just going to roll it over into the 4 and 6 hole?
That would be pretty wild. Like, and I don't think he'd be one of those guys, he wouldn't allow them to pick. He would tell people where to go.
Yeah.
Like, he would turn around on the mound and be like, hey, you know, for call, like slide over 4 steps, like towards the middle, you know, or he'd say, go over, cause I got everything up the middle, cause I'm the best fielding pitcher ever. Like, you know, he knew every player on that field and where they're supposed to be and what they're doing. I don't, that throws a whole nother curve for me. Cause like, I was like, yeah, he'd be okay. But now it's like, he probably would be even better. Like the lefty pull shift, like who knows how many singles he gave up to short right field.
Right.
Would now be out. You know, it's just, it'd be interesting to see. Maybe we can like plug him into like MLB The Show or something and see what his career turns out to be.
Yeah, that's accurate. That's the same thing. I wrote down, did he strike enough people out? Like today's game is so revolved around the strikeout from a pitching perspective. But for the reasons we just touched on, the shifting in the analytics, I don't think it would matter, man. For one, I think he would still strike out about the same amount of people. And now people would just be, he averaged 6.1 Ks per nine over his career. So, I mean, most starters in the big leagues average at least 9 per 9, right? I would say like 1 to 1 now.
Because guys are so aggressive, I think he would have feasted on that. Like it would have flipped. Like, I don't know that he'd gotten the called strikeouts like he did, like the front hips, but what he would get is like he would nibble and guys just wouldn't be able to wait. Like he would just get guys just looking foolish. Like I think it would just kind of go to the other side of that coin.
Yeah, you just touched on it. That was the very last thing I wrote. I said, do we need to talk about the strike zone? Because you can go on some of these YouTube videos. There was one where it was him against, LeVon Hernandez when he was a Marlin, and they're facing, and the umpire's literally ringing up stuff in the other batter's box, bro. That the strike zone back then was different. There's no doubt about it. So then you get a wizard like Maddox who can hit a ball off over and over and over and over and get it. I mean, that's just game over.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, it's like you give him an inch, he's going to take the mile every time. And, you know, I mean, he made a career doing it. And that's the thing, though. Ultimately, guys knew what he was going to do, whether video was a thing or not. Like, they knew what he was going to do, and he just went in and did it over and over and over again. So, like, you know, would scouting reports have helped? Maybe. But, like, at the end of the day, even if he saw a tendency that you just flipped a switch on, I guarantee you he would have turned around and be like, why did that guy just take that pitch? And then he'd change, like, on the spot. You know, he's like I said, he was ahead of the game always. And, I mean, he's a Hall of Famer for a reason. The guy was freaking savant of pitching.
All right, so young Greg Maddux breaks into the league 2021. Let's run through his career. 355 wins is what he finished with. What do you think he finishes with if he broke in the league this year?
I mean, if Kershaw's only halfway, I'd put it over under 150. I mean,
yeah,
you have to go there.
5,000 innings, same. I think it gets cut into like the 3,500 range.
You'd have to like give him like 7. I don't know what it, you know, per start what he averaged. You know, but call it 6 maybe, you know, from 7. I don't know what the
yeah
would have been, but like. He just honestly wouldn't have been allowed to pitch deep. I mean, that's, you know, the way the game's become.
When you don't throw 100 to get that third time through the lineup, typically you got to throw in the mid to high 90s because you're still throwing electric stuff. You know, he's having to throw the kitchen sink at him from the start. So he's kind of showing his best cards right away. That third time through might have been tough, but if anybody could have gotten through, and it's freaking Greg Maddux.
Right. Yeah. He would have started throwing like a carry four seam or something for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, and the last one, 109 complete games. What do you think that gets cut to?
There's what starters now throw maybe 2 a year.
Maybe. Yeah, last year there was a bunch because we had some 7-inning doubleheaders.
Right, yeah. So those and like, you know, it's like the minor league 7-inning complete game. Like they count on paper, but they don't count. Like,
yeah.
It's like, come on. Yeah, I mean, you'd have to at least cut that in half again. I mean, that's being generous. Like, you know, maybe 30. You
right.
Know, most, I mean.
Clayton hasn't thrown one since 2017.
And there's there's a lot of like studs who haven't thrown them. Like it's just, you know, you get to the eighth and, you know, a couple guys get on, like, you know, and they bring in the closer, you know, it's just, you know, if it's a tight game, whatever, you know, wins are so valuable and, you know, saving the pen isn't a thing anymore. You just use it up and then call up another guy. You know, it's just kind of the game's so different.
Yeah. Well, I mean, rightfully so, man, the guys like yourself that are sitting down in the bullpen are nasty. And they're ready to be employed and get guys out. You know, it just, it makes sense. It just is a shame that we're not going to see these guys get these bulk stats like we used to, man.
Living with Taylor Rogers this spring and like we were talking about like, you know, Twins, like stats that are like old pitching stats. And it's like just the number of games pitched, you know, the number of innings accumulated, you know, the starts in a season, just like crazy numbers that are out there from like, you know, the 60s. You know, that there was just like how did these guys do this? You know, so you can tell it was definitely a different game, but then two, like why were they allowed to do it? You know, on top of it, it's like, it was literally just like, all right, just go play. Like, you know, nobody had pain. nothing. It's just like throw on your spikes and go, you know. Yeah. And it's just so many aspects of the game have changed. It's just kind of wild to imagine, you know, Babe Ruth being plugged into today's game. You know, what would have happened?
Those are always the conversation. That's such a bullpen conversation right there. Like when you're sitting down in the third inning, you're not ready to lock it in yet. And you're like, I don't know if Ted Williams would be any good. And then everyone just gets fired up.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And it's always both ends of the spectrum. Like somebody's all in on him being horrible. And then other people are just like, no way you're even having this thought.
Well, Duff, man, it's always a blast having you on, and obviously a blast to talk pitching, specifically Greg Maddux. That was a good time. Thanks for coming on and spending a half hour with us today, man, covering some pitching. Good luck this year. Look forward to seeing you out there. I'm in the AL now, so I get to see you a little bit more.
I think we come in September or August to see y'all, so we'll have to. Hopefully you'll be in the Rogers Center.
Yeah, hopefully so, man. Hopefully we're in Toronto. All right, dude. Thanks.
All righty.